Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, well. Good afternoon. Welcome back to another edition, another episode of Chatting with Dr. Leonard Richardson. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we want to do something again. Hello. That's just a small sampling of the Virgin Islands March. We are doing that in commemorating the Memorial Day weekend. We'll focus on that today. So let's say hello to our usual members, our featured correspondent, Virgin Islander, who is an expat from the Virgin Islands, now living in Cayman Islands, calling in. Let's say hello to Val Sims. Hi, Val.
Good morning, everybody. Happy to be here.
Great. Glad to have you.
Good day, rather. Good day, whatever time it is for all listening audience in their part of the world.
And the doctor's there. Good afternoon, Dr. Richardson. How are you, sir?
I am well, thank God. Thank you for asking. And to everyone else, regardless of where you are, your sphere and time and place in the world, good day, I say to you.
Very good. Very good. Okay. We have several things on the agenda today. Val, would you like to go ahead and mention one of them right now, and then we'll come back to you for some others as we go through?
Yeah, sure. So since May, you know, a lot of things are happening in May.
Oh, yes.
But one of them I had on my calendar was about Trunk Bay on St. John. It used to belong to the Boulan family. I believe they purchased it in 1928, and it's coming up for the anniversary tomorrow of 58 years of being incorporated into the national park.
Already?
And it's one of the most popular beaches on St. John.
Yes,
that's true.
And since my heart is in St. John as well, with my family living there, I love, like, historical tidbits about St. John.
Uh-huh. Got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Where does the trunk come in? Why is it called Trunk Bay?
You know, I've read a couple of things about that. Some people say, oh, it's the trunk fish, you know, that needle-nose-looking fish. And then others say it's from the trunk-back turtles. You know?
Exactly.
So,
I think it's more the latter. I think it's the turtles
My understanding of it is
for verification.
Well, I don't know verification, but another point of view, I've heard both, but my understanding and better understanding of it is that the trunk turtle, which was on the verge of becoming extinct, but they were actually becoming more on that part of the island of St. John. And it became, for a long time, it was really a natural haven, resting and nesting place for them. Now, I don't know what happened since then, but that's where the name came from.
Okay.
Trunk Bay.
And then, yes, and then trunk turtles, it's really another name for leatherback turtles.
Oh, really?
Are familiar.
So the Americans know it as leatherbacks.
There's another place here on St. Thomas, Jump Island, for a quick moment, down by the airport toward going by what they call Botany Bay area. That's another nesting place for the leatherback turtles, and then across on the Key. But then they were both on the verge of extinction, but they have made a strong comeback, and so now it's one of the places. That's why Trunk Bay became a national park, to be sure that there is no hunting in terms of trapping them and capturing them.
I see. Yes. Now, there's also Hawk Nest Bay. That's because of the turtles over there, too, the Hawkbill turtles?
Hawkbill turtle.
Okay. Wow, St. John has a lot to offer. My goodness. Great. The tiniest island, but has the most to offer when it comes to natural existence rather than people itself. It might be the smallest populated island, but it has a lot going on with Mother Nature.
Well, you know what they say.
No, what did they say?
Good things come in small packages. And sometimes, we oftentimes overlook the size of the package.
Yes.
The most expensive things are usually smaller in size, but higher in value.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that could be said of St. John for sure.
Well, that's why I'm saying it.
The
doctor doesn't miss a trick there, Val.
That's why I'm saying
Especially those prices. You're right about that.
Yes.
And you know,
By the way, just
to make a quick segue, well, not a segue, but a quick jump across, that's one of the reasons when we stop and we think about the petroglyphs. Only St. John, not only, but St. John has the most petroglyphs of Virgin Islands history in terms of the indigenous people that were there. Small island, but having the greatest insight into the previous existence.
Yes. Okay, Val, what else do you have?
Hello?
Yeah, Val.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
No problem.
Yes.
Are you paying attention in class, or are you off daydreaming?
I pressed a button by mistake.
Pay attention. We are in class.
I'm listening. I just pressed the mute button by mistake.
But
I know you guys caught me. You don't give me a break.
We love you, Val.
We have another.
We love you. As in class, you used to say you were looking out the window at that point in time when you pressed the button.
I know. But I'm trying to manage my noise on this end since I have construction noise too. So I'm trying to time it.
Yes. You don't want to hear
drillings and stuff. But anyway, on the 28th, you know, it's the anniversary again of Queen Margaret's visit to the islands.
Wow.
She came 41 years ago, back in 1976. I can't believe I can say 40 years. I mean, I remember when she came.
Yes.
So those are kind of scary numbers. But who was she?
You have to tell us, who was she?
Well, that was your part, Dr. Richardson. I couldn't do it justice. I mean, I was amazed. I'm amazed whenever royalty comes to the islands.
And you know,
that's something I've covered in my blog, you know, keeping track of all the royals that have come since the 1800s. And they just lived such fascinating lives, you know, and when they came, they really left an impact.
Right.
So
Queen Marguerite, actually from Denmark. You know, it's interesting. Denmark is a kingdom. But the truth of the matter is, with the exception of Frederick the Ninth and King Christian the Ninth and Frederick the Tenth, Denmark was ruled for the longest while by a queen as opposed to a king. And Queen Marguerite became very popular and very much enamored with and the people of the Virgin Islands and the Virgins and the people of Virgin Islands with her as well. And when she came to visit, she was so surprised but pleased to see what had happened. And St. John, as I said earlier, the smallest of the three Virgin Islands, not to exclude Water Island, because Water Island was not considered an independent Virgin Island. It was federal property.
Yes.
But
yes.
St. Thomas, St. John, and St. Croix, and the Cushions may not particularly like this, but of the three, the most beautiful, actually, is St. John, followed by St. Thomas, or St. Thomas followed by St. John. And not Cushions, we're not saying that you're not beautiful, you're just a little different. That's all. And the reason I'm saying is everyone will tell you, and even when
yes.
we stop and we look at the tourists, the travel, and all of that, you know, St. Croix isn't quite as attractive in terms of visitation as either St. John or St. Thomas. So Queen Margaret was very much interested and always had great admiration for St. John, and her visit was of a high note because shortly thereafter some other concessions were made in terms of persons who wanted to travel to Denmark and to study and to do research, and she opened up the library and the archives.
Wow, that's nice.
In Denmark, yes. As a matter of fact, you could go.
Now I'm perking up.
Oh, okay, good. Good. And do the translations and all of that, and to look at the genealogy. And, you know, all of the records, once the islands were transferred, all of the Danish records were sent to Copenhagen. And as a matter of fact, unless you could read Danish, you couldn't very well get anything, and,
yes.
you know, it was difficult. But then she made it possible for revelation and opening up of the libraries and archives in Denmark to the people.
And now they have it on the Internet, made it much, much, much easier to get it right now. Yes, sir.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Through the month of March, I kept posting comments and,
oh,
and articles from there on Facebook. Yes,
oh,
very
yes,
good.
Oh yes, I did see that. Oh, I love I love those records.
Yes,
I love those records.
A good
I
job.
Can research all day finding something new.
Yes.
Okay.
They're
great.
Really at your convenience. What do you want to do by day, by night, on weekends, during the week? They are available all the time.
Yes, 24/7.
Without
exactly.
That's right. Without having to take a plane trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
In one section of records that still needs to be digitalized or at least accessible online, and those are the 1920s newspapers.
Oh, really?
Those are not online except for a few issues of the Herald by Lee Hamilton Jackson, but the rest are not. You have to go into the library and sit there in the chair and look through the microfilms, you know, one
physically.
By one.
Right. I wish they
would do that, because it's not very much. It's only, you know, from like 1917 to 1930. That's the missing gap.
Wow.
Nowhere are those available.
Yeah, well, the last time, well, this was some time ago when I was in college doing some preliminary research. When you look at it, the microfilm was there, and it was supposed to be transferring microfilm onto microfiche, and that was taking some time, and I think they're still kind of behind, and just as you pointed out, it's not the entire thing, so the wheels of justice do turn, however slowly they turn.
Slowly, and even slower here in the tropics.
Oh, I know.
And now with the closing of the library, I don't know, the wheels have stopped.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, what's interesting is even if you wanted to go and do some work here in the library, the Turnbull Library, that was shut down because the chiller wasn't working. And,
oh, my goodness.
You know, records could be damaged and stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to Val. Anything else on your agenda, Val?
No, you know, we celebrated National Maritime Day on the 22nd, so I shared some posts about the Creaky Marine Railway and try to touch on some of the vessels that visited the islands. You know,
that's
incredible history. I'm working on a new story now about the Carl Stark, which is a boat that a lot of people should remember because it was
I
around.
Don't. What is it? Is it a tourist boat?
No, it was the one as inter-island schooners between St. Croix and St. Thomas in the 40s and the 50s, bringing all the Cushions down for the horse racing and boxing day.
Amazing.
Yeah. So,
wow. That's next week.
Sharing that soon. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, that's going to tie in well because we have a Cruzian coming on the show next week. I am very excited. Dr. Richardson, you probably know Fidel Peterson Christopher. She's one of the Carrizo singers. Yeah, she worked with Miss Leona Watson.
So she's
a great, not Miss Watson. Miss Watson's thing, God rest her soul, is no longer with us. But
Leona B. Yes. She's now.
Our audience may not know that. That's what I'm saying. But Fidel Peterson is going to be here, and I'm excited about that. I'm out beyond excited. So we'll see what we can do. We're looking forward to that. Okay.
Excellent.
Anything else, Dr. Richardson, before we go into talking about Memorial Day?
Well, no. Our value, we're talking about that particular boat, but, you know, there's also the fact that over on Hassel Island, when we talk about Creaky Slip and we talk about a connection and we talk about the ship that went up on the floating dock, you know, we can do that at another installment because the Catherine was one that was run and managed by the Lockhart Company.
Oh, yeah, the Catherine, yes.
Yeah, and that
it was a mail boat, too, wasn't it?
That is correct. That is correct.
Yes. Yes.
Transferred
yes,
and brought the mail from Puerto Rico to St. Croix.
Yes, Fajardo.
Fajardo, yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, that's where the Librans came in. Yes, exactly.
I think that'll be a
great show.
Yes. By the way, I was looking at that picture you told me about, that picture of Main Street, and I saw La Gloria. That was an old picture, man. It goes back, whoa, because
of course.
I remember where La Gloria, in the picture where La Gloria is located, has been upgraded to La Gracia when I was growing up. But I remember it was La Gloria first, yes. And La Gracia was up where it, there were three, I know. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What was the other one you're saying? Located where?
La Gracia was where A.H. Reese passageway is right now. That's where, right across from the Center Theater, and when I was growing up. Yeah, third, fourth, fifth grade, something like that. But then about the time I was in the fourth or fifth grade, they moved down, they downgraded and consolidated it into the old, La Gloria became La Gracia. And by that time, La Esperanza was already gone. So the downsize. From three down to one. And then eventually it was gone. Yeah.
Okay. You got it right.
Okay, thank you. Then Val, I've kicked you out of your spot. I'm in the front of the class now.
No worries.
She's not removed from the head of the class. She has a parallel position, or you have a parallel position with her at the head of the class.
Okay, Doc. We'll keep it in school.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Val. You got something?
Yeah, we forgot we had chatted about the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial Park.
That's
May
correct.
20th was the anniversary remember? 1945.
Yeah, well, we could tie it in with today, Memorial Park, because on Monday, there's a lot of activities going to be taking place in that park for Memorial Day. Yeah, so we'll go into it now then. Yes. So, Doug, do you want to go ahead and mention that? Or?
Well, the question is, what is a good point of departure? We're looking at Franklin Delano Roosevelt Park or Memorial Park, and now also Virgin Islands Veterans Park. Prior to that, the area which was known as Coconut Plaza or Coconut Park.
Yes.
And right to the east of that, of course, was the convent school. So that whole area has quite a lot of rich history.
Then
to the east of that is where we have the what we call Memorial Moravian Church. Their headquarters would be directly east of what we call the convent school, and across the street would be where they had the bishop's house for the Moravians. But of interesting note is if one were to go back there and at the corner, you now would see what people call Zora's.
Yeah, Zora's.
Oh, yes.
The shoe store.
Yeah.
The shoe repair store. Sandal repair.
That's correct. Jacob Jackman's Sandal live there and his family. And if you travel north, yes, if you travel north, the first street that you meet as you travel north would be what is known as Congan's Garden as it comes down from Government Hill.
King Street, yeah.
That's right, King Street, that's right.
Okay.
And as a matter, I was just orienting myself now. As you move a bit northeast, that whole block would take you to what would be the hospital, the Danish Cemetery, and that whole area. So that's where many of them settled, the Hansons, the Knut Hansons, and all
I see, yes.
Oh, yeah. And they then that comes up to your area.
They flock together,
Up those long steps by Lincoln School.
Yes, up to where I grew
up. Where your family,
Yes, exactly.
That whole area. Because you see that whole area, if you look at it, if you make that left turn at the corner of Lincoln School, which people refer to years ago as Field Hill, the Maude Proudfoot Drive, that would take you up to Black Bear if you come around the top of it, And that gave a very panoramic view of the harbor and all of that. But anyway, as we were saying, that area, Memorial Day, 1945, the end of World War II, actually, would they call it Memorial Day? Because after World War I ended in 1919, that range of time, that was supposed to have been the war to end all wars.
End all wars, exactly.
But it didn't quite happen that way.
It didn't work that way.
No, in 1945, of course, with the business of World War II, a new element was introduced, and I wanted to tie this in with Boulogne, the business of the dropping of the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And, you know, it's interesting because former President Barack Obama was given an honor and cited for the only president for having apologized the Japanese people, for what had happened to them during the dropping of the bombs of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And interestingly enough, people may not make the connections, but the connections are there. We have now today, still those areas are not habitable. The radiation is still high. People try to go in, but then when you come out, you find yourself in a very, very uncomfortable position. And the Geiger counters will tell you that the radiation level is very high. But I want to take this a step further. One of the things that they do not understand, you know, Japan was prohibited from having any atomic weapons, but yet Japan had two nuclear energy plants.
Plants. I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to talk about bombs and planes. And
No. They had energy plants that were nuclear plants. And you know what happened? One of them had a meltdown.
Yes, I remember that.
Okay, Fukushima.
And what
happened was the waters from the Fukushima plant spread across the Pacific, and they have reached California. And it's almost like a sign of this is the payback for what you did to me. God in his infinite
retribution.
His infinite wisdom has paid
a
back, so to speak. And God is still very concerned because the San Andreas Fault and that trench there, they're wondering if that should go, what should happen. And the question is really not if, but when.
When,
it's all connected subterraneally under the Pacific. And so now they're finding things that have come from over by the Fukushima plant onto the California coast after all these years. And I feel that the whole subterranean place was damaged with the dropping of the bombs. Now, they don't want to admit to that or own up to it. The trouble is with atomic energy, it's present, but once you set it off, it takes years, thousands. Indeed, we don't even know if it's ever possible that it ever corrects itself. So I'm just saying that to say, yes, it's important. So as a result of that, for commemoration, we have a poem, and the poem was actually the one that was used for World War One. It's called Flanders Field. But then you remember that?
Yes. I've heard that.
Yes, Flanders Field. In Flanders Field, the poppies grow between the crossings, row on row. That poem, okay? But now here's the thing. When World War II ended, in fact, more damage was done than they had even imagined, and still being done today. The deformities, the illnesses, all, you know, the animals and all that. Still, the world cannot repay Japan for what happened.
Wow.
Of course, here in the United States now, we are vulnerable now, too, because see what is happening. We have all these terrorist attacks and the things that we find very uncomforting or uncomfortable with is the fact that at any point in time, if something were to go down, it would be troubling because the grid would be affected. And we will not be able to go very far for very long, because if the grid is ever struck, no electricity, nothing. I mean, seriously, you know, and the one country where they're having problems, which, of course, is North Korea.
North Korea,
They have missiles that can reach what's supposed to be the protective shield for America. And once those things are deployed, no telling what it's going to be. It's a terrible thought, but it's something that we'd have to live with.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's similar to how Vietnam veterans are still suffering with Agent Orange fallout. And government wants to deny it, but nevertheless, people are sick. And what are they getting sick from? Well, if they happen to be there at the right time, if there's such a thing as the right time and the right place. But if that's what they were doing at that time, and then years later they're coming down with all kinds of illnesses, there's a connection there.
Of course.
But nevertheless,
and as a matter of fact, the thing is, another connection needs to be made. The company that provided the Agent Orange chemical in terms of as a defoliant, so they could see where the enemy was, the alleged enemy was, the company actually is connected with GM Monsanto, GMO, genetically modified organisms. So you see, we are ingesting, we're breathing, we're drinking, a lot of things that came out of that, and none of it really is good. And on top of all of that, we have a situation that is now, you know, and you would know about this, Etienne, PTSD, post-traumatic, post-stress syndrome and all that, even the fetuses are now affected, and the sperm of the male is affected, unknown to many people. So the children that are being born, you don't know what kinds of illnesses, mental illnesses, and this business of killing. And, you know, when you look at the Mekong River produced at that time four powerful kingdoms, Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, and Vietnam. There was only one Vietnam. And then when the split came, North Vietnam, South Vietnam, and then now after the war was finished, then they revert the name from Saigon. Now it's back to Ho Chi Minh City.
Ho Chi Minh, yeah.
And over on the other side, just as in Korea, we have the Korean, the North Korean, and the Southern Korean area. And the problem is, once these missiles with North Korea and that man who's over there and all that, they go off, it's only a matter of an hour or two before you can move right across the border, because the border is only a line. It's like Germany, you know, East Germany, West Germany. It's only a line. There's nothing that can stop the spreading or whatever. So we're living in perilous times.
We are, yes. Oh, my goodness. Woo! Now, you know, the irony of all of that that really is annoying to most Americans, that Monsanto company that is supposed to be a reputable company has its hands in these defoliant chemicals that would supposedly help cut the weeds, cut the grass, keep down the grass. But while they're doing all that, they're also killing us human beings.
Well,
and,
it shouldn't be too difficult for people. Yes, I agree with you. It should not be too difficult for people to understand that if they would only wrap their heads around the concept that all things biological, all things that are organic, if you are killing anyone at that level, whether you want to call it the food chain or not, it percolates up and trickles down. So in effect, what's going to happen is if you kill a cockroach with insecticide of a certain kind or whatever, you know the cockroaches are not the only ones breathing the air. So are we.
Sure.
And if we know anything
Doc,
about studies.
You're making me sick. Let's move on, please.
I know.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. No problem. No problem.
That's a reality that a lot
of people have to deal with, and we need to address it. Yes, this is Memorial Day. And many of our servicemen and women, and we can talk about that in a minute, service women, are in the cemetery, not because they committed suicide, but because they did their share to help protect America and keep America free. And unfortunately for them, they became a victim or fallen soldiers. Whether they be airmen or Navy, that we still call them fallen soldiers.
Of course.
We need to pay attention to what's going on or what has gone on with them and pay our respects. So that's how we came up with this thing called Memorial Day. But a little back up a little trivia. Memorial Day used to be called, Decoration Day. Doc, you want to fill us in on that, please?
Well, what it really was commemoration and decoration for the servicemen, and people would raise the flags and put wreaths and bouquets and stuff on their doors and on their balconies and things of that sort. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen some nice old postcards of Decoration Day in the Virgin Islands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah,
you
with the troops marching. Yeah, I have to find them somewhere.
As a matter of fact, your parents were so justly proud of Decoration Day, they would make you put on your Sunday best. And you know, years ago you had a suit of clothing for Sunday and church, and some shoes for Sunday and church, and you did not wear those anywhere else but church. But they would make you put on those things, and you'd go and proudly march up the main street, you know, for Decoration Day with these parades and the beat of the community band and all of that. Yeah. Yes, of course.
Good. Anyhow, what I want to turn to right now is something that is really, really discouraging for me, because there used to be a time where in American military history, women were not part of fighting. Well, after 9/11, September 11, 2001, women were allowed to go into combat. Well, what happens when people go into combat? Some come back alive and some don't come back at all. And some come back alive but having missing or broken parts. And that unfortunately has happened to some of our American women. Would you believe there's 147 women who were deployed to Afghanistan, Iraq, and Kuwait, and they lost their lives in service to America. 147 women who could be moms, could be grandmoms, could be aunts, whatever it is, their relationship is, their family, no longer there because now they are deceased servicemen or service women. Yeah.
So that's one of the sad parts.
Yes.
Well, you know, I extrapolate that a bit because of those service persons, one or two or X, let X be number for the unknown, persons could have found a cure for cancer, could have found a cure for diabetes or whatever, could have found a cure for a number of things. But we will now never know, or we now have to wait, because the thing is, so many were killed, annihilated.
Yes.
The question becomes whether or not you die fast or you die slowly. And as a result of that, now that women are on the front line handling the same kinds of weaponry as men, there is no hope for saying, well, it won't happen to a woman. But the thing about it is the women, our mothers, our sisters, who are responsible for the procreation and regeneration
yes.
of the society.
Yes.
And
yes.
they can talk all they want about Homo sapiens, sapiens, and all these things about robots and the combination of androids and all of that. But the problem is going to be it will never be the same again.
Back up a little bit, Doc. When you say they, yeah. you're talking about politicians?
The powers that be.
Oh, the powers that be. Okay, good enough. Fair enough. not to confuse
uh-huh.
it with other females, because they're
no.
who are non-military.
See, the trouble is the powers that
yeah.
be have little or no regard
right.
for anyone who is not a part of them.
Yes.
Because we are all expendable. The only
yeah.
question is at what price? Is this a lot more expendable or less expendable in terms of the cost? But in the final analysis, we are all expendable except themselves. And little do they realize, they too shall become expendable as the wheel turns, as it goes on and on. Because capitalism has no respect for anything, including
exactly.
itself, except more capitalism.
Exactly. Well, here's the irony of it all. Monsanto has become filthy rich at the expense of all these people who are killed with chemicals.
Of course.
Or injured. Yeah, that's. And of course, war itself is a big money making operation. It's not a matter of gaining land or fighting the enemy. It's a matter of creating products that could be sold to militaries, whether it be American militaries or allies or whoever. And that's the sad part about war. Why do we have to go to war? Why is there a war? Why do people
Greed.
Have to kill each other? It's great. Yes, exactly. Now, from a religious standpoint, it will say it's the devil's work. Well, that may be true, and I believe it. But at the same time, why can't we just love one another? I don't mean like the peace, like in the days of the Peace Corps, but what was it? The hippie generation in San Francisco.
What's
everybody was getting
flower
yeah,
power.
They were going to the overboard.
Yeah, the flower power.
Yeah, flower
yes.
power people, yes, yes.
Yeah.
They're going a little overboard. But still, the intention was right, to love each other, have a flower rather than a gun in your hand. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You can't harm anybody with a flower. But you
it's
sure
hard
can harm them with a gun.
Terrorism,
yeah.
you know?
Yes,
yes. And killing innocent people.
Yes, and I don't understand that at all. Wow.
I don't either. That radicalism.
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
Goes wild, goes crazy.
Well, you see, the word, you use a very good word there, Val. Radicalism, actually, when we stop and we think about it and we look it up, the word radical comes from the Latin radio, which means root. And when you go to the root of it, the bottom line is the cause is greed, enviousness, jealousy,
mm-hmm.
lies,
mm-hmm.
betrayal, and lies, betrayal, and hypocrisy, because
wow.
the bottom line is we talk about freedom, but yet we are not willing to let other people be free in what they think we want to superimpose. And
yes.
once we superimpose, that becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Memorial Day. So we have this special holiday to keep alive our memories, but also our respect for those who give of their lives so that we can be free.
You
our
think
military
so really when you stop when you stop and think about it, it is less about paying attention to those who have passed, except those of us who may have had, and I'm using us collectively, those of us who may have had people who may have been affected
yes.
directly. Basically
yes.
it's a money making affair. It's one of the largest holidays in the United States. Just before summer, the barbecues, the picnics, the dances,
oh,
the parties,
oh, I see what you're
the horse,
at. Yes.
the horse
yes.
racing, oh
yes,
yes. the
yes.
VLT, video lottery terminals, the Las Vegases, junkets and all that. Oh, it's a big money-making affair. It's all about economics.
Well, for that matter, anytime you look at the big, or any holiday for that matter, they're all money-making holidays. You know, whether you're talking about Christmas, you're not there for the birth of Christ, but you're there to make the money for Santa Claus. And Easter is the same thing, all the holidays. And there's nothing wrong with that if it's within context, but it gets wild and crazy and we completely miss the whole story. So going back to Memorial Day, whether or not we have had family members or friends or acquaintances who have no longer live or are no longer with us, I'm glad that we do have a Memorial Day to remind us. Let's pay attention.
Of course.
Let's spend time doing that, because
I concur.
It's sad when we have to look at the other side of the coin. It really is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I concur. Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Because
thank
all
you.
The ones whom we have loved, whom we knew, and we still
yes.
love, and we still know in our minds, in our individual circumstances or collective circumstances and experiences, we still love them. We still know
yes.
them. We still
yes.
wish they were here with us. And
oh, yeah.
they are not. And it's one of the things. So collectively, in terms of when we look at it, it becomes a matter of love being the bottom line.
Yes.
And wanting to be close to those persons. And they're wanting to be close to us. And that
yes.
is what keeps us going. And
wow.
until we can get to the point where each man realizes that the other man, and I'm using man not in the gender sense, but each man, each being,
generic.
Realizes
yeah.
that we are all related, interrelated, and interdependent.
Yeah.
And each one's death diminishes us. No man is an island entirely unto himself.
Yeah.
Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. We love one another. This I will contend. Each man, brother, as my brother.
Wow.
Each man as my friend. From the poet Emma Lazarus. The interesting thing is, if we do not, and I do not know that this particular millennium, this particular time, this particular dispensation can rise above it, we're all going to go that way to the Grim Reaper in regret,
wow.
whether we admit it or not.
Yeah. Well, before we go any further, let's just give our phone number out. We got carried away that we're 3/4 of the into the show.
Oh, boy.
And we haven't mentioned our number. Our number is 347-237-4374. Listeners, we would love to hear from you. Yes, we will repeat it. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a family member or a story you would like to share with us, by all means, give us a call at 347-237-4374. And by the way, Val, let's swing over to you. Would you mention where folks can find out more about your pictures, your stories, your subscription, your newsletter?
Sure. Sure. Anybody following me, I'm on vintagevirginislands.com, and I'm really big into Pinterest now, so you can look for my boards over there. Yes,
all right.
I'm a big fan of Pinterest, so I've got vintage maps and stories and coins and all
converted.
Kinds of things there.
You've been
yes,
converted.
Yes, for sure. I'm following
all right,
EDN
all right.
over to Pinterest
yes,
and loving
okay.
it. Otherwise, I'm
yes.
on Facebook there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
Well, I've been following you in more ways than one. Okay, now it's legitimate now. Now you're official your official Pinterest follower.
Yeah,
yes.
I know.
Great,
yes.
great. Well, okay, so let's get back then to Memorial Day and anything else you want to go with. One little thing I want to mention too about the service women who are now becoming casualties. Not so much in the cemetery, but casualties in the hospitals, the VA hospitals. They come back and have to learn how to have a limb attached because their leg was blown away. Prosthesis, I'm talking about, exactly. The
yeah.
limb could
okay,
be the one, leg.
One,
could be the
may,
arm.
May I
go
one
ahead.
Quick incision here. For all the persons who are listening, whether you're on St. Thomas, St. John's, St. Croix, Virgin Islands, wherever, if you have a relative or if you had a relative who served here on St. Thomas, and I'll speak of St. Thomas because I know of this, there is in what we call Memorial Park or Veterans Park a wall where the name
yes.
can be added of your relative.
Mm.
And please get in touch with the Veterans Administration. Etienne, you would know about this.
The local VA.
I, but,
Yes.
Yes, the local veterans to have that yes. name added, because we
yes.
are not willing that any should be forgotten.
Exactly.
And just as they have the wall in Washington, D.C.,
we have
of course, a smaller one here,
yes.
but we have ours
yeah.
here, too. And we should remember our own, okay?
There's
That's
a statue for
thing.
Each one, for each branch
That's
of
correct.
Service. Exactly.
That's correct. That's correct.
And you know the
I
sad thing there?
Make,
yeah. Of the four branches of service that they have there, I believe it's four, maybe it's five, because Coast Guard is not considered a military. It's a defense, but it's for indoors or internal U.S., whereas the others are for around the world. But the largest branch of service the branch of service with the largest number of casualties from the Virgin Islands was the Army. And why is that?
Of course.
Because of Vietnam.
No, I know that.
Yeah,
I
know you know. yeah. yes, Doc. You know those things, but we have to educate our
That's right.
listeners.
Our
yes,
people.
Yes.
Yeah, and people
our
around
people.
The world.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
wherever they are. That's true.
Yeah. So now here are women who have now
and what,
have to
now,
learn how to
what,
walk with
What is
with
interesting
prosthesis.
About that, too, is they gave their lives at a time
yes.
when they were not even being considered citizens.
Yes, exactly.
When they could not vote. For the man
yes.
who sent them there, called a president,
yes.
and we
yes.
still cannot vote
can
for the
do
president.
That.
But you can
yes.
go over there and lose your lives, boots on the ground or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I
won't interrupt anymore.
That's okay, Doc. You always come up with good points. Very well. But now is a good time to at least mention what PTSD stands for.
Yeah, go ahead.
The term has become so commonplace nowadays that I don't think people really fully understand what it really means.
Okay, go ahead,
now,
if you will.
Yeah, I've worked in mental health and I used to do evaluations, so I can
uh-huh.
speak with confidence what I'm about to say. But PTSD is the acronym that stands for Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. Now, before...
Correct.
That person can be diagnosed with a disorder, the PTSD has to have a syndrome. And what does a syndrome mean? A collection of symptoms. Not just one,
Correct.
Not just two, but a collection of them. How many? It varies from person to person. Some people may have four or five. Some people may have 25. We don't know. Everybody responds differently to trauma. If you have a bomb go off next to you, a loud noise, if you sit on the bus, riding the bus, and there's a boom, a big noise, most people will be startled. Well, that's just human nature. But if you have it every day, every day, every day, and you try to sleep, at nighttime you have the same noise going on, after a while you will pick up symptoms of PTSD. Now, what does it include? It includes restlessness or inability to sleep, which is hypersomnia, sleeping too much, or hyposomnia, not sleeping enough. You have depression. You would have things like the other side of depression, mania, where people have to be doing something, have to be doing something, have to be going, going, going. Their mouth, their voice, their brain is constantly in gear, and they don't slow down whatsoever. Or they may have stomach problems. They're so tense that their stomach muscles are held in so tightly that the food can't digest properly, and internally there's all kinds of problems going on there that could get wacky. And it goes on and on and on. It PTSD gravitates from the brain all the way down throughout the whole body. So any portion of the body could be affected, not individually, but collectively. And when there's enough qualified professionals to thoroughly evaluate the person with PTSD, they need to look first for the syndrome. How many of these symptoms do these people have? And then what is the most devastating one and what can be done about it? It's a lengthy process to even evaluate it, part one, and then part two to treat it. And then part three, where do you send the person for treatment or rehabilitation? I don't know of any PTSD centers around the world or across the United States. There are hospitals where people come in and get an evaluation and they're sent home with medication. 99% of the time, medication doesn't cure PTSD. It may alleviate the symptoms. It may reduce the symptoms. It might reduce the complaints. But PTSD, like the chemical warfare, will linger on and on and on and probably lead to a slow death. And
well,
the time slow death will be suicide or homicide. Go ahead, Doc.
You're absolutely correct. It is a debilitating disorder, disease.
Yes, it is.
Because the basis of it, the root of it, is actually neural. All along from the medulla oblongata down the spinal column to the coccyx and the lower extremities of the body, between what we have as known as the vertebrae, we have the spinal column, which is the central nervous system. And all organs are affected by what happens in the spinal column. As a result of that, whether a person jumps, screams, hollers, whatever, that is a physical manifestation of a disorder. The causative factor, we will never really know what caused this, what caused that. But just as you pointed out, the symptoms that are there are only symbolic of a malfunction.
Right.
And as a result of that, since it's neural, it goes from the toes, which we call the
carpals,
all the way up to where we have the brain, where we have the spinal column anchoring up there or beginning up there between the cerebrum and the cerebellum. And as a result of that, all over the body is affected.
Yes.
And how it manifests itself varies from individual to individual.
Person. Yes.
Also, that's right, and also in amount. So all they do is they try to give you some kind of medication so you will feel less of the symptoms, so you feel less of the pain, but there is no cure.
There's no cure, exactly. Now, some of the victims, I'm going to call them victims, not patients, some of the victims of PTSD try to self-medicate. Now, how they do that, they will take whatever they feel they have to take to feel better or to alleviate the thoughts or the constant pressure. Some may turn to drinking, alcohol, I'm talking about.
That's
some
correct.
Might turn to sex, so run out all the time to go, can't get enough of that. So some may turn to drugs off the street. Some may turn to marijuana. Now that it's legal in some states, they may turn to that. They'll do anything and everything to alleviate what's bothering them, but they can't function as a normal person. They can't hold a regular job. Some may try and may get away with it. Or when I say get away with it, they're doing a good job, but it's with a price. They're paying. They don't sleep well. They're not hungry. Another symptom I feel to mention has to do with eating habits. Some of them may eat too much. Some of them may don't care to eat at all. And as you know, if you don't eat properly, your body does not handle it. So PTSD is much bigger than we say it is, that we want to admit it is. But it's one of those weird conditions that has always been there with us a war. We used to call it shell shock at one time after World War II. But it's more than just shell shock. I mean, being startled for the loud noise is one thing. But having your stomach in constant pain or having your brain not being able to shut down so you can sleep and get some rest. Or being nervous all the time and you can't stop your hands or your head or your legs from shaking and you have no control over your body. That's PTSD all the way.
And the other thing about that is that much as you were talking about, as you alluded to the eating, whether it's anorexia or bulimia, the point is that these particular disorders that manifest themselves are symptomatic of something in the deep structure, more than just the thinning or the fattening of the body. And the bottom line is all that you do in terms of whether or not you turn to alcohol or sex or you turn to substance,
smoking,
the more you take of it,
whatever,
the more you take of it, it only further debilitates you in the long run because it's not curing.
Doc, before we run out of time, we're down to about 5 minutes. Could you explain to the audience, please, the difference between bulimia and anorexia, please?
Yes. Bulimia is where you eat almost like gorging. You eat, you eat, you eat, you eat, you eat. You get big and fat, and you get a sort of satisfaction out of that. Anorexia is when you become very thin, thin, and you get thinner and thinner. As a result of that, you don't have the necessary vitamins, the necessary nutrients for your organs to function properly. And so then you become nervous. Anorexia nervosa is the end result of that, where you just shake. And, you know, and it's really, and no one wants to be around you. And all the real time is that you're crying out for help, but no one seems to want to help you. Eventually you die. Because, you know, it's one of those things. And then central nervous system controls all functions.
All of that. Yes.
Yeah.
Victims of anorexia nervosa are basically walking skeletons. They're, you can see their bones.
Exactly.
You just have the skins hanging on it. There's no meat.
Right.
Well, let me rephrase that.
Just
there's
flesh.
Meat, but there's no no fat between the bones and the meat. So they're really in poor
shape. The one organ that's there that's visible for the most part is the skin.
The skin is the largest
organ, yeah.
Oh, yes. And it just looked like it's hanging on them, like somebody took
of
a
course.
Wet towel and
of
put
course.
It on them. Yeah. Exactly.
Because there's nothing between the dermis and epidermis.
Exactly.
And the bone and the muscle. Yeah.
Yes. Well, let's leave it at that because we're just almost out of time. We have about 4 minutes left. Let's go around and do a closing thought. Val, any closing thoughts?
About this show? Well, this has
Anything.
Been a tough show because,
it is.
You know, it isn't such a happy show.
No, it isn't.
Thinking of all the things that have happened in the past and the wars and the consequences and I feel very heavy-hearted by listening
to
everything.
Yes, it is.
But,
all right.
Yeah. But it's important to honor those that suffered and those that endured and families that live with it every day.
And as you said, we don't know how much they have suffered before they passed away.
Right.
We don't know that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Doc, closing thoughts?
Well, the closing thoughts are very much parallel to those of Val's. Yes, we don't know. And they have suffered, and all we can do is strive as best as we can that there will be no repetition or repetitive action.
Right.
For human beings, being what we are, there's no guarantee that that will not happen.
Guaranteed.
For wars, poverty, we will always have with us. The question is to what extent, at whose expense, and for how long. But
Very
we must
good.
Hold faith and believe in God and say, we will rise once again. No power on earth can keep down the power of God. So we must rise.
There you go.
Yes, we rise.
And with that being said, I'm going to close things off because I don't want to say anything further than I already said because it's already heavy. But at the same time, we're all in this together as citizens of the United States, whether it be in the Virgin Islands or in the Pacific, in Guam or Hawaii, whatever it is, wherever we're under the American flag, we are Americans. So let's close things off here with our national anthem. Dr. Richardson, thank you very much for spending time with us today and sharing with us.
You're welcome.
And same thing with you, Val. Thank you very much for being here with us today.
Thank you. Thank you both very much.
Thank you both.
Okay, good.
All three.
All right. So here we go, our national anthem. So long, everybody. See you next Saturday. Same time, same place. Bye-bye. Well, we're having difficulty with it. So let's switch from the national. Let's go to the Virgin Islands. Oh, here you go.